Redacted Media presents, in association with Ghost Hat Films, the Filmological Society. On today's episode, we continue our countdown of the BBC's 100 Greatest Comedies of All Time. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Scholes, Chad Halverson, and Candace Osler.
All right, welcome to another podisode of the Filmological Society, where we are counting down the top 100 films of all time that are comedies, as determined by the BBC. And since it's British, it decided on 101 movies. But I digress. Today's movie is number... I'm just drawing this out on purpose. 55.
No, 55.
Best in Show. Best in Show from year 2000, directed and written by Christopher Guest. With me, well, I'm your host, Chris Scholes, and with me are my co-hosts. First is Candace Lauren Osler. Hello, Candace. How are you?
Hey there. I'm doing pretty good. Still surviving while sheltering in place. How are you?
That's good. Good. I figure, you know what? We made it this far. Let's just get through it. It's fine now. We're good. We'll get through it.
It's working. Well, I mean,
it is.
For those that it's working for.
Yeah. And the other voice that you will hear, the soulful baritone, that is Chad Halverson. Hi, Chad. How are you?
I made a cake today.
Yay!
Like a tiered cake.
Like, you're crying while you're making it?
No, I mean, I was crying because I was bored.
Right.
And then I made a cake for, like, 20 people, and there's three of us in this house. and I also had leftovers, so there's cake pops as well.
It's a similar situation to yesterday, where I made 64 peanut butter cookies when there's only three of us here.
And I have a sourdough starter going. So I, like,
you're one
half
of those
the
people.
Country have started that. So get ready for that Christmas gift.
I was going to say, is there going to be, like, a flux of sourdough recipes given the
or
next
sourdough
couple of years?
Starters? That's going to be, like, the big gift?
Yeah.
Like, here you go. It's a living blob of flour.
This trend brought to you by Christopher Scholes.
Enjoy.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. I will send you both starters. That is our sponsor today, is sourdough starter from Chris.
Next week, can we try taking on kombucha starters? I want to figure out how to do that. I hear it's easy.
We'll see. Right. We'll see. Well, let's get into this film. So this is 2000, not 1999. That was like a decade before this movie came out. This is 2000. Christopher Guest. So this is the second film that we've seen from Christopher Guest. He also did what was that other film, Chad?
Waiting for Guffman.
You weren't on the podcast then.
I was not.
Candace, so you missed that one, but this one is the same feel as that one, as far as being a mockumentary. Wouldn't you agree, Chad?
I mean, all his film, he definitely has a niche, and it's definitely mockumentary
and
improv.
Yeah. I think the script was 14 pages.
Yeah, it was less than a pilot script.
But not in a bad way. Everyone in that cast was stellar at improv. They worked off each other so well.
So now, Candace, was this the first time you've seen this film?
It was my first time.
Okay, so what were your thoughts going into it, and what did you think afterward?
Well, so far my trend with these movies that I haven't seen before is to not find out what I'm in for and then just watch it. So I did not know what to expect. Best in Show, I presumed it would be some sort of competition.
And it was.
Oh boy, it was very entertaining. I will throw on top of that, I watched it before going to bed at around 4 a.m. this morning. So that was a fun little element to add to my experience. Did not deter from it. Oh, yeah.
Extra loopy.
Extra loopy, but fresh. Mm-hmm. Very fresh.
Fresh and
loopy. Yes. All right. Any other impressions you'd like to share? From your, 4 a.m. thoughts?
Everyone was so different. Everyone was uniquely weird. Or there was something eclectic about their relationship with the other individual. Was Christopher Guest the only solo?
He was Harlan.
Harlan Pepper with his bloodhound love. Oh, his scenes were hilarious.
Chad, now you are a veteran of this film. Does it hold up for you? Because you said it's been a while since you've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, biased, but I mean, it's still really good. This film was, I'm trying to think of when I started working at the movie theater. This film came out before I started working at the movie theater, but we talked about it all the time when I started working there. And one of my friends, Andy Siskowski, a mutual friend of TC and I, like the scene where Jane Lynch, she wins her round and she like goes on one knee and it's like, yes, that was an inside joke for like four years at the theater. Yeah. Where we would just, like, yes. Andy would walk by and be like, yes! And he'd go down on one knee. Like, all those memories of when I... Because this was, I think, the first Christopher Guest film I actually watched before...
All the other ones?
All of them. So, like, I have a special connection with this one. But, yeah, just... And it's all the alums that he uses, like, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, Michael McKean, John
Fred Michael Higgins, Willard and his commentary throughout the whole show.
And I just read that he did all his scenes in 2 days.
Did they just sit him down in front of the camera and tell him to go? Because that's absolutely
He was given the direction, do not do any studying of dogs or anything.
Just say whatever comes to your mind.
And the other actor, who they only had for like two-day window, 48-hour window, he had to study all the dogs.
Well, yeah. His character was the smart one.
Well, like people,
which is great because it really plays off as realistic how annoyed he looks every time Fred Willard opens his mouth.
Did anyone see if they liked each other, or if he truly was annoyed every now and then? I'm curious if any of that tension was real.
I don't think there was any tension on the set. I think it was acting. It was. Good acting.
I'm sure being in the character, being in, improving that he has to be annoyed by him, probably made the character.
They both are actors who continue to be in Christopher Guest films.
Yes.
So it's not like there is animosity or anything like that. I have the feeling that to be part of this group of actors, like on a Christopher Guest film, it has to be so much fun to come back together, right, for your next film, like whether you're, Jennifer Coolidge or John Michael Higgins, just coming back and doing films. Ed Begley Jr. I mean, how many times do you see Ed Begley Jr. anymore in a film?
Who is that?
Not
he was
many.
The hotel manager.
Oh, okay.
Well, and he, I'm trying to, wasn't he on Arrested Development too? He had alopecia. Yeah,
where his hair was falling off.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like the Christopher Guest, and it's not just good actors. Like he does improv. So, yeah. And not every actor can improv. And a lot of these people have been working together for years. Not just with, you know, Christopher Guest movies, but just in general. Like, I'm pretty sure Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy came up from
SCTV.
SCTV.
Yep. So the Canadian Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
But, I mean, you got... I mean, you have Michael McKean, who was on that scene. I mean, they were all in Spinal Tap. They were both in Spinal Tap together, which was an improv movie, which also is a film coming up on our list.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes. It's one of the top 10, I believe.
Sweet.
Yeah, it is.
And by the way, should we just, you know, can we just say, instead of saying Christopher Guest, saying maybe Mr. Jamie Lee Curtis?
Mr. Jamie Lee Curtis, yes, yeah. He is married to her.
Definitely.
But, now, Candace, you've probably have the most, I say probably, but I don't mean probably. You do have the most acting experience.
I do. It would appear that way.
Yes. Out of the three of us, anyway. Not. What is your experience with improv?
With improv? You know what? I haven't had too many opportunities for improv. A little bit. Okay. On stage. When TC put on his world premiere of The Princess Knight in Burlington back, I want to say, in 2013.
Burlington, Wisconsin.
Yes, we lived in Burlington, Wisconsin
musicals.
For about 3 months during the summer. It was a great...
Chocolate City.
Oh, it smelled great. Like, genuinely, I'm not being sarcastic. It smelled like chocolate, and I loved it. I had a few nights when we were putting that show on where I did have to improv, and I love it, because when you are a part of a cast and everyone works well off of each other, you get to know each other and how one another ticks. You can go on the stage and have fun, and people will go along with it, and it makes the experience so much more enjoyable, because it makes it intimate, and it makes every night different. Like, it's not just going off a script anymore. You're creating things in the moment for people, for audiences to enjoy, and then they can go off, and that's something special, because it won't necessarily be something that happens the next night. And I imagine you can have the same kind of fun. I imagine they do have the same kind of fun doing Saturday Night Live skits as well, because just things happening in the moment that weren't put down on paper, and then working out and creating entertainment for everyone. It's a really invigorating feeling, and it's nice when you get to experience it.
And I would imagine, I mean, you played that character on stage, and so you are obviously very intimate with that character. You know how that character will react.
Yeah, it's important to understand the personality that you're trying to portray, because if you truly do embody it and project it, then everything that gets thrown at you, you can respond in that way, and it's fluid, and it feels consistent, and it helps you sell the character more.
And I think that was very good. Thank you, Candace. Because I do feel that is basically how he directs these films, right? Like, I imagine that most of that 14-page script is character notes.
Yeah, and like, hey, they eventually
basic,
go to
Pittsburgh. Basic outline and character notes. And that's it. Like there's not much there, and he has a crew that he knows, because he works with most of them so often that,
I would wager it's probably just a breakdown of every scene they're going to shoot and what the scene needs to consist of. Like, here are the points you need to hit. Go.
Christopher Guest isn't the only one who does it that way. Christopher Guest is not the only person who does it that way. Reno 911, it's pretty much the same thing, where, you know, they're all improv actors, and they get, like, for the episode, they're like, all right, this is the arc, but now fill in the blanks with, you know, funny bullshit.
And it's so fortunate when directors and producers can find talent that can be so on it, because it's less work for them to have to do. They can help guide and direct, which is, you know, part of the role, but they don't really have to baby. They can just let their actors do their thing, mm-hmm. and things can unfold genuinely and naturally and be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like, from what I read, it doesn't sound like, you know, there were 50 takes of each scene, right? Because I would imagine, like, hearing some of the directors for, like, an Adam Sandler film or something like that, like, back in, like, Grown Ups and stuff like that, like, they would just let the cameras roll and just redo line after line, you know, just, again, it's all improv in a way that they're just making up jokes, and then in the editing they cut it and they use what they think is the funniest one. But
well, and I mean, they're shooting it like right. a documentary, so if you're the director of a documentary, you're asking, he's still asking the same questions, but these people have a character yep. on, and like I love mockumentaries for that reason, where if you treat it, and I mean, it's true with, like, any film, like, Edgar Wright, the reason why his films are so great is because he treats them like the film he's spoofing. We've talked about mm-hmm. this before. But same thing goes with mockumentary. If you treat it truly like a documentary, mm-hmm. You're going to get the best results all the time.
Yeah. Good. Good. This is good. All right. Candace, we'll start with you. Who was your favorite character, non-dog, in the film?
Dang it. Okay, well.
I know. Just taking that away.
Come back to me then, because, you know, I was really into that Bloodhound. They really sold me. Christopher Guest's passion for it. Just, it was contagious.
I know you've gotten a Bloodhound since 4 a.m. That was the first thing you did when you woke up.
Yep. Gosh. You know, there's something about Jennifer Coolidge. Whenever she shows up, I always hate her. Most of the time, I hate her. She's played a few characters that are, like, not just dumb blonde, but also you feel for them. But she's typically that terrible mother or terrible aunt or terrible, like, boss of something. And she is just so good mm-hmm. with it. I'm always entertain when she's on the screen. Any film I've ever seen with her in it, any show, I appreciate her shameless portrayal of whatever the heck she feels like. Like, she will just go all in. She does not care. She does not appear to care. And that fearlessness in what people think about her, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I would say just seeing more of her work, because I think when I first saw her was probably American Pie. She played Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom.
And she didn't leave much of an impression on me after that. I just knew that she was Stifler's mom. But yeah, seeing her work, especially in these type of films, because I think she's pretty much in every single one of these Christopher Guest yeah. films. Like she really plays the different roles well. But yeah, that kind of not necessarily ditzy, but more absent-minded,
just aloof mom and disconnected aunt, from reality. Aloof.
Yep. All right, Chad, same question. Which character, non-dog, was your favorite?
So my obvious choice would be Buck, because it's like putting a sportscaster, you know, that does like the big sports, like a yeah. football announcer, in a dog show, and it's great. And actually, watching it now with just like what everything's going like out there, he was almost like a smarter Trump.
Well, I mean, you could say that about anyone.
That, yeah, that's true. But like, just like the dumb questions and things that would come to his head.
He's like a corny dad or uncle or grandpa. He doesn't mean harm, but he's so, oh my goodness, how are you thinking these things right now?
But I'm going to have to go with Christy Cummings, like Jane Lynch's character. She's hyper competitive. I like the thing where, you know, she's like, all right, I'm gonna let what's her face Sherry do all my makeup and my hair and stuff, and she gets real excited, and the next time we cut to them, they're having a mini argument about how it made her look like a whore.
But I like the hair.
But she liked the hair though.
their relationship was so entertaining. Oh, and I'm going to bounce off of your Jane Lynch. I also didn't mention something I noticed about Jennifer Coolidge with their relationship is she kind of embodied that presence of a dog. She was just there. She was always eating something and just, you know, Jane's character would like compliment her, but not deep. There wasn't much depth to it. It was just this very shallow representation. And I picture the character notes for Jennifer Coolidge was just like, you're a dog, so do what you think a dog would do if they were a person.
Well, I mean, yeah, she played the trophy wife, uh-huh. which people would kind of think is kind of like that, right? You're a pet, but you're there. You're not giving 100% back into the relationship. Yeah.
That's what she was giving Jane Lynch. Companionship.
For me, the character that really just kind of stuck out is Parker Posey's character, Meg Swan.
Both of them were great together.
In that they weren't really great together.
They were so shallow. So shallow.
Well, and it's like, I'm watching with my wife, and we're seeing how they're reacting to this dog, and this is like, this is all the bad parenting in the world.
Yeah.
Everything, like, yeah. So, and that opening scene with them, with the doctor talking about their dog finding, you know, watching them have sex.
Oh, that scene. Oh.
Yeah.
That therapist.
I mean,
Oh, yes.
Talk about like walking into a movie and just being like, okay, this is the movie.
This is what I'm watching today.
She's explaining the position from the book and just like, okay.
We started reading the Kama Sutra and I don't even remember the position they were doing, but the therapist was into it.
And any other characters that you guys want to talk about? I mean, that's the thing. With this film, there's so many characters, and I think it's more interesting to talk about them than anything else.
Catherine O'Hara is great in everything. Everything that she does.
From Beetlejuice to whatever else she's in.
Schitt's Creek.
Home Alone.
God, I love her.
Schitt's
Creek. But seeing Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara together It's like seeing this couple that you've been following for years and they're still going strong, and it makes me so happy when they pop up in movies or anything together.
It makes me sad when I realize they're actually not married in real life, because I feel like they're the perfect fake couple. Her, when she twists her ankle.
That stunt fall.
And her walk.
Yeah, her walk is so good.
It's so good. Did somebody put something there? Jerry with his left feet.
Yeah, the two left feet.
Or two left feet.
Oh, that's very peculiar.
Oh.
He's like, I have two left feet. And, she found out I wasn't joking. I was born
to the feet. Two left shoes.
It's so good. But that's the thing. It's such a simple, like, visual gag. Like, all you do is put two left shoes on.
Yep.
But it works. And then there's a callback later on when he's walking Winky out. And is there something wrong with him? Yes. He's got two left feet. Well, how about that?
I think that might have been what got him the ticket. Won him the show.
The pity
vote? How about his face when they land on him? That was just... Eugene Levy had the most adorable, genuine-seeming expression. Like, just the, oh my gosh, it was me? I won? Just the disbelief.
And with his, with the fake teeth in, too. I mean, they're not supposed to be fake, but, like, he's got that goofy smile.
And
like,
how happy Catherine O'Hara genuinely was for them. And, it's sweet.
Well, she's a fantastic, she's fantastic in everything that she does. They've worked together from the 80s, like, with SCTV.
Yeah.
So they know each other so well and know how each other will act and react to anything. I think anytime you put them together, it's going to be gold. It's going to be gold. It's just going to be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like they should, whatever their rates are for acting individually, are what they're at. But when they're together, they should get like double and a half each. Like,
absolutely. So this is all about a dog show. Those dogs all came. They all are actual show dogs.
Show dogs.
They all are winners. And either they either won in an American or a Canadian a competition. There was only one unscripted dog bark in the entire film.
What?
One unscripted dog bark when I forget the scene. I think it's when they're looking for when Parker Posey's character, she's looking for the bumblebee.
Yeah.
There's like a dog bark in the background.
Was it an extra trying to get Taft Hartley?
Right, trying to get their scene, trying to get the IMDb credit. No, it was just one, and that was being a dog owner myself. Like, that's pretty amazing. Like, to not have any other accidental dog barks.
I mean, not just that. We know what it's like being on a set and not being able to control your environment. And we don't usually have dogs in our stuff, and it's hard to control them. So to have a film that you made about a dog show with plenty of dogs on set, that's impressive.
Yes. Yep. Very well-trained dogs.
Sound control. Way to go.
All right, Chad, you ready?
How about this one?
Oh,
well, no, that's a bear in a bee costume.
It's true.
It's not a bee. Yeah, but it looks like a bee. I think the dog will respond. All right, Best in Show. Here we go. So, Best in Show is a mockumentary that follows a group of dogs and their owners going to the Mayflower Dog Kennel Show, and the whole build-up of the first act is just meeting all the different characters and their quirks and weird things that they got going on. When they finally all get to, to bury the lead, Cookie, and we already talked about it, but Cookie and Jerry, they win at the end, and they're from Florida. They drove all the way up. They get to their hotel and they don't have enough money to cover the expenses, so the hotel manager hooks them up with the broom closet.
Well, and don't forget, they continually run into Cookie's ex-lovers.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. one of the running gags is Cookie
get around.
She's like, she's been with dozens of women, and she corrects it in like, no, hundreds.
Oh, hundreds. Hundreds. And, like, I didn't know that.
Anywhere they go. Yeah. Even at the end where I'm skipping, I don't give a fuck anymore. Even at the end when there's not a lot of plot points in this you're following a bunch of people that are going to a dog show and then the fallout of that. So at the end of the movie, after Cookie and Jerry win with Winky, they cut to everybody and like, you know, it's been 6 months. How's it been going? And let's see, Jane Lynch and Stifler's mom, they start a is a magazine,
for,
right? A
for dog lesbians magazine. Who own dogs.
For, lesbian dog owners. Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy's characters, they start making music about terriers, like songs about terriers, which is weird. Michael McKean and John Michael Higgins, their characters, they take their dogs and recreate old classic movies from the 20s and 30s.
And McMillan and wife.
Christopher Guest's character, Harlan Pepper, he starts doing ventriloquism. And that's what he does at the end. And it's not, there's no script. So you're not watching this for deep stories, but you're watching it. Christopher Guest is so good at like Americana movies, like the kind of like what Fargo is and what, I don't know, the way I think about it is like anything that's not like revolves around a major city, because so many movies are like out of New York and LA and Miami and all the big cities, that's fine, but like it's very rare that you get movies where the characters seem, at least to me, seem super real, like Midwestern, mm-hmm. like quirky and
waiting know, for man. Guffman was in the middle of Missouri or Kansas.
Something like that, yeah.
In the middle of the country, like in a small little town, and their production, their little play production. This one you have...
you got yuppies, you got, you know, a hick from the backwoods.
Lower middle class family.
Yeah, from Florida. You got the rich people, and they're all weird in their own way. And they all deal with the stress of being a dog owner in a kennel show in their own way. And it's, I don't know. Christopher Guest is really good. I mean, and I shouldn't say him, because he didn't like write these characters, but he, you know, came up with the basis, and then the actors, you know, brought these characters out, but he's still the ringleader.
He's the director. He's the one kind of making those things. And to clarify, he and Eugene Levy wrote the film. They were the writers of the outline and the characters.
I mean, he can say it about any of his movies, but they're just, they just feel, you know how like you go to a holiday function or a family function, there's always that one relative that you're like, A, how have they survived this long in life being that way? And B, like, how do they not have their own... Like, everybody has that weird uncle or aunt or whatever. And I feel like these movies are, like, taking all those weird people and kind of, like, putting them all in one box. But it doesn't feel... And I mean, there's plenty of movies that have weird characters, but they don't... They're not as real as these ones, and I think it's because of the improv and the way the speaking comes out. It's not clean. It's not like rehearsed. It feels real because it's supposed to be real, and I think that only helps the comedy. Like, it only helps the movie be better. So that really wasn't a summary, but.
You did great, Chad.
I was setting you up to fail, Chad. I'll admit it. This was a hard one. This would have been a hard one to.
I set myself up to fail by saying I'd do this.
Yeah, but the summary for a show like this, so, where you a movie like this, where you have all these pockets of characters, you are trying to touch on every single pocket, and that in it. Of itself is a lot of information to try to get in a short amount of time. So kudos to you for trying.
And again, this is it's a hard one to really nail down, because it's a simple plot. It's you're following some dogs and their owners to a dog show. You know, that's it. That's the plot. Go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, and that also leads to a problem of having to talk about it, because what are we going to talk about? There's not much here. I do feel that this type of movie makes it kind of timeless, right? Like, there's no real, like, technology issues. There's no real, like...
Yeah, yeah, it's not like, yeah, they get lost in the woods and it's too old, so they don't have a cell phone, or it's too new, so the cell phone's dead. Like, yeah, there's no... And it's right before 9/11, yeah. Too, which I always recognize, because it's just completely... Just kind of like how cinema is going to change after we through this.
Yeah. The anxiety you feel when you see... It will. Movies and close contact and gatherings.
Like,
yeah.
How handshakes are now a part of the dare.
I will say there was a moment in this film
kissing someone
that allowed me to learn something, because one of the characters, I don't remember which one, was going to go do a bath bomb. And I didn't know when those were created. So bath bombs were first created in 1989 by one of the co-founders of Lush, because she was fascinated with the fizziness of Alka-Seltzer. And so she captured that by using sodium bicarbonate and citric acid. There you go. A little history nugget for bath bombs. Thank you, Best in Show.
Yeah, I think when we do our bath bomb podcast, Candace, I'll have you on that episode.
You'll have me as a guest.
So you can talk
thank
about
you.
It. Yeah, for the
do we all do we I all do. Do like is it a podcast recorded from the tub where you do a bath bomb and then you each review what's going on with the bath bomb?
Yes.
And the reason why you chose it, what you're going through that week, and how it's supposed to help you and calm you and whatnot. Cool.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Where on your body is tickles the most right now, and where
it's
most
a little
soothing.
Shameless plug right here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, might as well plug the other podcast we do. All right, so what final thoughts do you both have on this film? Besides, it sounds like everyone liked it.
It's absolutely... it's subjective. It can be a hard pill to swallow if you have a short attention span, because it's slow. It's a burn. It's a slow burn. You have to have an appreciation, I think, for just improv... awkward comedy in general, because some people might not be able to latch onto this kind of film, but you know, for people who appreciate
definitely,
film, they can absolutely.
Yeah, you definitely need to be in the right mood to watch this. If you're if you're looking for something fast or you know, like a quick hitter for funny, or all, you know, the, like you said, the slow burn jokes, that happens.
It
in this.
Is, and I'm gonna address the race thing. It's very white. it's very Caucasian. And there's the pet shop owner, an Asian gentleman, Hiro Kanagawa. There's some other individuals sprinkled throughout, but wow.
There was one black extra during the party when they
just
get to the hotel.
Extra.
I noticed that. Oh. And that was about it.
There is that
now,
element. That...
Now, have out of the three of us, how many dog shows have... any of us been to? Because I haven't been to any myself, but I'm guessing that dog shows are very white. I could be wrong. And please, if you are a dog show enthusiast and you are a person of color, please let me know. But I
suppose that could all depend if they host dog shows in Korea or China or Japan. India, any of the other
I mean, all I know is what the West... I think there's only two that I'm aware of, what the Westminster and then whichever one's in New York, or one's in London and one's in New York or something, and that's... And they're just played on TV, right? I have no
idea. I went to go... Yeah. I've been to a dog track before. Does that count?
No, I think it's a different crowd.
Well, you know, according to the IABCA, which is the International All Breed Canine Association, they have shows. They have judges that come from the U.S., Canada, Australia, England, and all over the world. So it's just naming the largely white regions and then encompassing everything else as and all over the world.
It just feels like it's a more white thing. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
It can be, but you know, speaking as an individual,
it is,
who is not just white and appreciates dogs. It happens in all races, I presume. Affection for dogs.
I'm not saying that, you know, but I think there's different ways to show affection for dogs versus having to show them at a dog show. But
it definitely seems like a very white thing.
You know what it is? Dog shows are a very first world thing. You don't have as many problems.
Yes.
Let's train our dogs to run through things and walk properly because we're bored.
Yeah, let's feed our dogs better than most of the world eats. You know, I agree with you that, yeah, it's a very, and I'm thinking back too to Waiting for Guffman, and that one as well was a very white cast. But they're also in the middle of Kansas or Missouri, which doesn't mean there aren't people of color there. It's just, I don't know.
And this list was created by the BBC. So.
Yes, there is that too. Very good point.
I think this movie would be interesting as a stage show because there's not, I don't know. I feel like, because improv can happen anywhere, especially on the stage. And how funny would it be to like improv the actual show and then have like fake dogs with you? You know, on like the leashes that are rigid, so it looks like the leash is long and being taut, and you're just like, ah, you know. I don't know. I think I wouldn't remake the movie, but I definitely would say, hey, bring it to the small
screen.
You'd
adapt it to a play.
Absolutely, and I can see now, if we're gonna wander off and diverge into this little world, I can see making the dogs more. Like, giving them more of a presence as far as characters are concerned, because then if you're going to have your fake dogs, maybe you have them being puppeteered, so that allows the dogs to have more character and, like, react to things and have emotion and express themselves. It could be.
Oh, man, we're going to get Warhorse money.
Yes, best in show live.
What if the dogs sing?
Ooh.
No, wait, hear me out.
All right.
The rest of the cast, they don't understand singing, so that's how the dogs can communicate to the audience.
Maybe
it's
some
song.
Sort of like howl,
howl sing.
They communicate that.
Yeah. Okay. Hey,
we got it.
Anyone out there want to fund this? We got something here.
Best in Show Live.
We got
that
something.
Kickstarter going.
The musical.
Don't bother asking Christopher Guest for permission either. Just do it.
Let's call it Best of Show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Best out show.
Solved.
Okay.
Nailed it.
We're moving on. We're ready to move on to our next film.
Which is?
Our next film is from. We go back all the way to 1971. We've been in more modern era for films. Now we get to go back to the 70s. Harold and Maude. Have either of you seen this film before?
Nope.
Have you heard of it before?
I've seen these names
I've heard
used
of it.
Before. But also, I believe I've heard those names uttered together with reference to the film I believe we're going to watch.
Okay. Well, good. It will be a new film for all of us then. I have not seen this film either. It is directed by Hal Ashby.
Hey, Tom Skerritt's in it.
Tom Skerritt's in everything.
Okay, fine. You got me.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to this. I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I've never seen it. So it looks like it's about a relationship of a young man with a much, much, much older woman.
Oh, fun. Well, yeah, Maude. So, yeah. Maude is a much, much older Maude. Woman's name.
Yeah, it's not... Or a young baby, because that's the way things go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you expect that young baby to grow old. And then the name will, you know, they'll grow into the name.
Grow into the name. That's right. That's right. That's
like
right.
Pants.
All right. So Chad, any final thoughts on this?
No. If you don't like documentaries in general, you're probably not going to like this movie.
A mockumentary doesn't make fun of documentaries. Yeah, it's not mocking documentaries. Yeah. That's a mocking documentary.
Like, hey, thanks for teaching me something, documentary mm-hmm. idiot. No. I've got nothing on this. I love this movie. It's so good. Plus, it has dogs in it. And if you don't like dogs, then...
Who are you?
You don't have to like
that's
dogs.
That's your choice. That's fine.
That's your choice in life.
The bad choice. A bad choice, if you ask me.
Yeah, stupid
but,
choice.
You have,
so judgmental,
you have that right.
Chadley.
Any additional thoughts from you?
From me?
Candace?
I think I enjoyed it. Yeah, I believe I did. It was a satisfying experience, and I'm glad that my exposure to dog shows has been broadened, and you know, I've seen another film that encompasses some really talented individuals when it comes to improv, and I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Aww. Ah. Well, thanks.
Yeah, you know.
We appreciate
dogs get me all sentimental.
Yeah, dogs are
great. That and being trapped in my house for weeks, you know.
Well, you know what else, Candace?
What's that?
Lord loves a working man who's... stays inside their house right now because
doesn't spread those germs. Covers their mouth when they cough and
those
sneeze.
Germs. Yep. Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor only if you
have
to.
Yeah, you can call before.
Like, there's a lot of ways to see a doctor. Yeah, call before. Yeah.
Or
telehealth. Yeah.
Don't overload our healthcare workers because they are overworked as it is right now.
And get rid of it. So thank you, everybody.
Later.
Buddy.
Bye. Buddy and the Jets.
The Filmological Society is a production of Redacted Media in association with Ghost Hat Media. For more information, find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, or visit us at www.ghosthat.net.